Rabbits and you threw us out of your house? I don't hear you. Your voice is not on.
Want to get some fresh air for a change?
Yeah, he should.
The man from Hunter who bought a house wants to pick me up to check his air.
No.
So he's going to call around at 11:45 or so to ask if it's okay. So if not, I'm going to tell him.
Okay. Where are they?
I'm still wearing them.
What?
What time is it? It's 10:30.
Is there a place to go and take it off now?
No, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Shabbos is Parshas Dvarim. In Parshas Dvarim, there seem to be basically two themes. The main theme of the whole Parsha is Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is encouraging by Israel that they should cross over the Yarden. He will not be able to, but they should cross over the Yarden with Yeshua ben Nun and conquer Eretz Yisrael. And then, according to the Netziv, there's an additional theme here. Of Mesiras Pulpulos Torah. The Gemara says in the Dor and Adaf Lamed Ches Malav that originally the original plan was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu all the dinim.
I'm not hearing you. So you're chopping up. Am I the only one? For some reason, you know, your voice is chopping up. Am I the only one?
What do people say? There's a problem.
This is what I hear the problem, but maybe it's my computer. I don't know.
Let me try another location. Okay.
I'm sorry to bother.
Yeah. It's not going to work here. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Very good.
Very good.
Not working. No. It's not working.
Not working at all?
No, it's chopping up.
I'm not having any problem.
Oh, so why didn't you say so?
Not attached.
I apologize.
It's my new finish.
The whole house is upside down every day.
So there seem to be two themes in the parasha. One is the obvious theme about Kibush Eretz Yisrael. And the other additional theme, what the Netziv interprets in the parasha, that the Gemara in the Dorm says that the original plan was HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah Kula. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he instructed him that he should tell over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael. And then the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was only supposed to tell the chukim and mishpatim. All the halachas, like a kid from Shulchan Aruch, all the dinim, like a big Shulchan Aruch. But the pilpula shel Torah, the drushes of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, how to develop the halachas, how to develop the drushes, that was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and if he chooses to, he has the right to keep that only for his descendants. They'll be the only ones, the Balabatim, to Paskan the Shailas. Then the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was good-hearted, he was a Tovayin, and he decided to give everything over to Bnei Yisrael. So the Netziv raises the question in his commentary, Chumash, when did Moshe Rabbeinu, where does it say in the Chumash, when did he give over the pulpul ha-shoter? So he thinks that it was the month before he passed away. That's the beginning of Chumash Dvarim. Be'eres ha-tor ha-le-mor. Well, Moshe, be'eres ha-tor, when be'eres ha-tor? He's explaining the Torah Shebal Peh. That's what the Gemara means in the beginning of Yevamos. The Gemara says, as a machlokes ha-tanaim, and we really assume that we don't darshan smuchim. Hekish means if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, so we assume that there's some connection between the two. What if you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim? So that's called smuchim. So that's a machlokes ha-tanaim, but they darshan smuchim. So the Gemara seems to say that we really hold in kol ha-tor kul, you don't darshan smuchim, with the exception of Chumash Dvar. Why is Chumash Dvar different? So if it's on the side of the Gemara there, the beginning of Yevamos, Rabbi Tzal Ranchberg tells you to look in the Ravon. The Ravon had a girsa in the Gemara that we don't have, that Moshe Mipi Atzmai Amora. The Gemara Megillah has that lashon. The Gemara distinguishes between the Terchech and Mechukais and the Terchech and Kisavoi. So the Gemara said, the Terchech and Mechukaisai, the Rabban Shalom is saying, and Mechukaisai Teilecho, it's Mitzvahisai Tishmeru. It's between the Rabban Shalom and Bnei Yisrael. And Venisati Gishmechem Beitam, everything is between the Rabban Shalom. And the Terchech and Kisava is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking on behalf of the Rabban Shalom. It's not the Rabban Shalom speaking. So the Rabbi Tzal Ranchberg understands that the whole Chumash Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu is delivering his last address to Bnei Yisrael, and he's teaching them all the secrets of the Torah Shebal Peh, how to develop halachas. And when a person says over a din, so by association, the first din reminds him of a second din, second din reminds him of a third din reminds him of a fourth din. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying over dinim. So the Seder is based on association. So in Chumash Dvarim, Dafke, only Chumash Dvarim, we darshan smuchim. One pasuk next to the other. That's why we have many, 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 many famous dinim that are based on smuchim and Chumash Dvarim. The whole institution of the whole perik Elohein Aloiken, the third perik in Makkos. The klal, all the Tanaim subscribe to the klal. One only gets Malkus if he violates an Avera, that's tumid the lab de chasima. Because the psukim are one next to the other in Chumash Dvar, or the Gemara in Gitnan Daf Mem Hei on the base that a woman cannot write a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah because you have in Kriyashma Ukshartim Uksavtim Kol Sheyeshtim Mekshira Yeshtim Biksiva. You have many, 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 many famous dinim based on smuchim and Chumash Dvar, and the other chumashim we really don't hold from smuchim. So that's what the Netziv interprets that Moshe Rabbeinu now is about to give over the Torah Shebal Peh, the Pilpul Shel Torah, the drushes, the whole klolim, how to develop ideas in Torah Shebal Peh. So I thought maybe there's a connection between the two themes in the Sedra, and perhaps it goes as follows. So the Gemara tells us that the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael didn't come about till the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. After the first 14 years, there was Shebesh HaKavshon and Shebesh HaChilku. The Mekadosh of Eretz is always Kibush, and the Chalukah is needed. The Chalukah is the Gemar HaKibush. That's the Gemar HaKibush. The Rambam says this in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rambam writes, he comes to explain, why is it that Kedusha Vishayna was Batla? The Kedusha Vishayna was created by Yeshua Ben Nun after conquering Eretz Yisrael. Then in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when the Babylonian armies destroyed the whole Eretz Yisrael, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed the whole government in Eretz Yisrael, so the Kedusha was undone. And for 7 years of Golas Bavel, Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kedusha. Then in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came back to in the beginning of Baal Shani period, they had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. So the Rambam says the Mekadosh the first time was Kibush. In the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, I need Kibush for Chiluk. So apparently he thinks that the Chalukah is the Gemara of the Kibush. So since the Mekadosh was the Kibush, so when the Babylonians came and they undid the Kibush, the Jewish people no longer had a Kibush, so therefore the Kibush was undone. So the whole, it's like pulling the rug out from underneath you. So the whole Kedusha disappeared because the Kedusha not only was created like the Kibush, but rested on the Kibush. So once the Kibush was undone, the Kedusha disappeared. What about the Kedusha Shnia that was created in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? The Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. So the Rambam, that's a machlekes in the Gemara, whether the Kedusha Shniya Vertzah was botla at the time of Churban Bayisheni, or was loy botla. So the Rambam paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin, Kedusha Shniya was kitcha losi lova. Not just kitcha l'shaita, not only had Kedusha Kozman, the Jewish government was there, it's kitcha losi lova, even after the Churban Bayisheni. So the Rambam says, why is that? Most hold that kitcha losi lova. Some in Yeridei Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, that's the one simen about the mitzvahs of Tliyas Baretz. So the Biragra there quotes from the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is by the Rabbeinu Baruch, the Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos every so often in Zvachim quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch. So the Rabbeinu Baruch holds that Kedusha Shniya Batla. Kedusha Shniya Baretz or Batla. There's a Rashi in Sanhedrin in the third parak in Sanhedrin. So some Achrenim understood Rashi to say halacha lemaisa. The Rashi holds like the Sefer HaTumah, but we really don't hold like that. We assume the Kedusha Shniya is kitcha losi lova. So the Rambam explains why. He says the Kedusha Shniya in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were on the Kaddish Eretz the second time, there was no kibush. There was no Jewish government at all till the days of the Hashmonaim. There was no independent government. The Goyim, Malchim, Modai, Paris, were Daryovish, Tachshasta. The Goyishe kings were ruling over Eretz, so there was no kibush. So the Mikdash wasn't based on kibush, it was based on something else. The Rambam formulates an expression. He says, the Mikdash of Eretz, the first time around in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, was kibush. So once the kibush was undone, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. But the Mikdash the second time around was chazoke. That's the question, what does he mean by chazoke? So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer learns in the Eben HaOzel, in the Sefer on the Rambam, Chazoka means a kinyan chazoka. He understood in the Rambam as if during the 7 years of Golas Babel, the Jewish people lost the ownership of Eretz Israel. And then when they came back in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, they acquired ownership of the land through chazoka. Karka's nicknames, Pekesef, of Bishtara, b'chazoka. So they were kind of b'chazoka. So the fact that they regained ownership, so that endowed Eretz Israel with Kedusha. Many years ago, after the Sinai campaign, Rabbi Gorman at that time was not the chief rabbi of the Medina. He was chief rabbi of the army, a chief chaplain. So he visited America after the Israeli success in the Sinai campaign. So he visited America and he spoke all over very fascinating speaker. So he spoke in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. So he gave a shiur. We were learning Sanhedrin then. So he gave a shiur on Sanhedrin. And in his shiur, in Ivrit, he was assuming, like Abisa Zalman Meltzer, that Chazaka means the Kinyan Chazaka, that the Jewish people lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 70 years of Golas Bavel. And when they made a Chazaka, when they moved back in, they acquired the ownership again. They re-owned it. They got back the ownership. And Mele, Eretz always been down with Kedusha. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the classroom and listening to him. He started to argue with him a little bit in the shiur. So he was insisting that not so. He understood. He didn't mention Abisa Zalman, but that's where he got it from. Abisa Zalman, and Eben Ozel understands that Chazok means Kinyan Chazok. So the next day, when Rabbi Gorman was not there, so Rabbi Soloveitchik said that with all due respect, he disagrees completely with everything that he said. You're not allowed to say such a thing, that the Jewish people lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 70 years of Golas Babel. We never lost our ownership. The Chazon Ish also writes like that, that from the days Eretz Yisrael, when Avram Avinu walked around the borders, Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, "Klum misalach baritz leorka lerochbo kidlcho etneno." Walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and you will acquire ownership. So the Gemara understands that that constituted kinyan chazaka. That's in Bava Basra Daf Kuf. That constituted kinyan chazaka, and it's a machlokes hatanoim. If I sell you a vineyard and you walk around the borders today, it's not stuff shin pei. And I say, walk around the borders and acquire ownership. Does walking around the borders constitute a kinyan chazaka b'zman hazeh? Or was it only a harash shah once in the history of the world? So we had some machlokes hatanoim. So we assume it was only a chazaka once in the history. Rabbanu Shalom told them, walk around the borders. And then the Rabbanu Shalom made a bris with Avram Avinu, with Yitzchak ben Yaakov, that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, to their descendants. What do you need a bris? You already gave him Eretz Yisrael. So Chazon Ish explains, based on the Ramban al Chumash, Ramban has this in a few places, that a bris is like a shvua, and a bris in the shvua means al kopanim, that the Jewish people will never lose their ownership of Eretz Yisrael, come what may. So the original kinyan was made by Avram Avinu. Tosfos in Yevamos on Daf Pei Beis quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, who understood the Gemara talks about Kedusha Bishayin and Kedusha Shniyah. So we assume Kedusha Bishayin means when Yeshua ben Nun was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, Aydei Kibush V'Chiluk, and Kedusha Shniyah is when Ezra and Nehemiah moved back to Eretz Yisrael, and they were Mekadosh Eretz Aydei Chazoke, what the Rambam calls Aydei Chazoke, whatever that means. So the Rabbeinu Hananel understood Kedusha Bishayin means in the days of Avram Avinu, and Kedusha Shniyah means in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Tosfos says it's not correct. In the days of Avram Avinu, Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kedusha yet. It took till after the 14 years. The first 14 years was Kibush V'Chiluk, and then Yehoshua ben Nun endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was Kibush, and the second time around was Chazok. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted, he once gave a Yortzeit Drosha on this topic, so he quoted maybe he didn't quote, maybe he said on his own, but Rav Chaim Volozhin has this in Nefesh HaChaim. Maybe he didn't quote Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim discusses the Gemara Megillah. Gemara Megillah has a brisa that all religious articles that you can buy in a Judaic store are divided into two different categories. You can buy a menorah, you can buy a talis, you can buy tefillin, you can buy a mezuzah. What else can you buy? A sukkah, esrig, whatever. So some are called tashmishi mitzvah, and some are called tashmishi kedusha. What's the difference, halacha l'maisa? So the brisa says in Megillah, tashmishi mitzvah, let's say I have an esrig, and then sukkah is over. So esrig is hooked to the mitzvah on sukkah, or the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah on sukkah. If you sit in the sukkah, then it becomes hooked to the mitzvah. After sukkah is over, what do you do with the esrig? And well, I say you throw it out in the garbage. You don't put it in the shemus, because the esrig was a tashmishi mitzvah. Let's say I have a talis, and the talis is, I used it for many years, the talis is yellow and stained and dirty, and I want to donate it to the shul, so the gabbai of the shul says, no, thank you, he doesn't want it. I want to give it to a poor man who lives down the block, the poor man doesn't want it. It's an old yellow talis, he doesn't want it. So nobody wants the talis, so what do you do? You have to put it in the shemus? So the Gemara says, no, you throw the talis out in the garbage, tashmish and mitzvah. After the Zman even though the Zman HaMitzvah is hooked to the Mitzvah, so you're not allowed to use it for other purposes, but after the Zman HaMitzvah is off, then it's no longer hooked to the Mitzvah. And the same thing with the Sukkah. Let's say, I'm not going to throw the Sukkah out, I want to use it next year. But let's say the walls of the Sukkah are old, and the Schach of the Sukkah is falling apart, it's old, and so after the Sukkah is over, it's no longer hooked to the Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Tashmish HaMitzvah on the Zrakim, you can throw it out in the garbage. As opposed to Tashmisha Kedusha, let's have an old pair of tefillin, and it's so puzzled, it's impossible to correct it. You cannot, the din is that tefillin have to be written Kisidron. So if there's a mistake in one letter there, and you have to erase it and fix it, so you have to erase from that point on and rewrite everything Kisidron. So if you have Shem Hashem, you can again erase Shem Hashem in order to be machsher the mezuzah or the tefillin. So what if you have an old pair of mezuzah, an old pair of tefillin, an old mezuzah that you can't use? So Tashmisha Kedusha on the Gnosim, you have to put it in the Shemus. So how do you determine what's a Tashmisha? How did the Tanoim determine what's a Tashmisha Mitzvah and what's a Tashmisha Kedusha? So the Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim that the source of all Inyoni Kedusha is Divrei Torah. So he says, the Gemara tells us that the Tefillin have more Kedusha than Mezuzah, and Tefillin Shal Rosh have more Kedusha than Tefillin Shal Yad. And Sefer Torah is more kedusha than tefillin. There's a din of malam hakodesh v'lo maridin. So, how did they determine what has a higher level of kedusha? So the Rambam seems to say like this: that mezuzah only has shema v'ayom shemai. The tefillin has four parshias, has those two, shema v'ayom shemai plus kadesh v'ayom kiviyacho. So since the tefillin have more Torah shebichsav than the mezuzah, so the tefillin have a higher level of kedusha. And then shal rosh has a shin or two shins. On the Shal Rosh, the Gemara only talks about one shin, and the Zohar talks about two shins. So it has one or two letters more than Shal Yad. So the Shal Rosh has a slightly higher level of kedusha than the Shal Yad. The Sefer Torah has the Dalet Parshios of Tefillin plus much more. So therefore, the Sefer Torah has more, a higher level of kedusha. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a line in the Rambam, the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, where the Rambam writes that there's a din of kovet Sefer Torah. Where do you see in the Chumash you have to show kovet the Sefer Torah? The Rebbe Shalom instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, where Sisa Locha Aroin Eitz, you should make an Oren in order to put the luchas into the Urim. So it means you shouldn't just have the luchas sitting around somewhere. You should show kavod to the luchas. So the Rambam sounds like he's writing a kal v'chaymer. He says, if the luchas only have aseres hadibros and there's a din, you have to show kavod. So the Sefer Torah, which has a higher level of Kedusha, because it has aseres hadibros plus much more, so certainly you have a bigger chi of kavod. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying that the Sefer Torah that's written by Bosu Adam and Shnas Tov Shin Pei has a higher level of Kedusha than the Aseres Adibas, where it's the author's copy that the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved, the Aseres Adibas. The Luchas are priceless. Sefer Torah has a price. The Luchas are priceless. But if you're talking about the level of Kedusha, so the Rambam seems to say, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, the Sefer Torah that's written by Bosu Adam this year has a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas, because the Kedusha depends, Tashmish Kedusha depends on Divrei Torah. The source of all of Kedusha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Divrei Torah, the text of the Torah, is a description of Elokus. It's a Moshel HaKadmoni, the Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the extent that you have Divrei Torah written, to that extent you will have Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik asked, so why does the Beis HaMikdash have Kedusha? What, you have psukim written on the walls, on the floor? Why does it say Beis HaMikdash have Kedusha? So he thought, based on a Rambam, he thought the Ramban HaChumash has this, the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash is because of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash houses the Luchas. That's the whole essence of the Beis HaMikdash. You have an Orem with the Luchas. It's called Nishkan HaEdus because you have Luchas HaEdus there. What about, the Gemara says, at the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshua Melech was going as the Orim with the Luchas in the basement. So how come the Beis HaMikdash still had Kedusha? So the answer is, the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Beis HaBchira that originally when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he based everything on the blueprint that David HaMelech had given him. David HaMelech got it from the Novi. I think God HaChoze, if I'm not mistaken, God HaNovi. And he gave it to Shlomo HaMelech. And it says in the Pasuk, HaKol B'Ksav V'Yad HaShem Alai Haskel, he had to build the Beis HaMikdash according to the blueprint that he was given from the Novi. So the chamber in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, where Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Luchas, that was all part of the original plan. So the Luchas were there, the Bais Rishon, at the end of the Bais Rishon period, still had the Luchas there. So it still maintained the Kedusha. Where was the Orem with the Luchas during the Bais Sheni? So the Gemara Yuma has around a fine base or so. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, historical Machlokes. So one opinion is that the Luchas were taken to Bavel, one opinion taken to Rome, whatever. There are different opinions in the Gemara. Where were the Luchas? So the Rambam, strangely, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah takes his stand on historical Machlokes, and he writes not only Yoshua Melech was gone as the Luchas in the basement, and it was there at the end of the Bais Rishon period, the whole Tkuvah's Bais Sheni, the Luchas were there in the basement. Why does the Rav Soloveitchik guess? Why does the Rambam take a stand on historical Machlokes in the Mishnah Torah? In the Mor Nebuchim, okay, but in the Mishnah Torah, he's only writing Halachas. He's not writing history. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe the Rambam understood that part of the Machlokes, it's a historical Machlokes, where were the Luchas in the Bais Sheni? Maybe one aspect of the historical machlokes is halachic machlokes. The hainu, is it conceivable to have a Beis HaMikdash without luchas? So the one Tana says it's inconceivable. The whole kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash rests on the assumption that it's a mishkan ha'edus because the house is the luchas ha'edus. The source of all tashmish kedusha, the source of all kedusha, has to be Torah shebichsav, something written Torah, the Divrei Torah. So you must assume that the Tana who holds that it was in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash is because he holds up Pialocha. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash without the Luchas. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that's the Pshat in the Rambam. Then the Rambam has in Hilchas Tvila, the Rambam quotes all the Dinim of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So there's a big machlokes between the Ramban and the Ran in Maseches Megillah, Perek Bnei Ho'ir. The Gemara has all the dinim of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. So there's a long run on the Rif where the Ran quotes the Ramban and he disagrees. So the Ramban has this in a few places. It has it in Megillah, has it in Perikira, has it in Sukkah, different places. The Ramban writes that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, what is the basis of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, is a Tashmishei Mitzvah. Why is it a Tashmishei Mitzvah? You can daven there's a mitzvah to daven, and the Beis HaKnesses helps you daven better. If you daven in a special location, miyuchet for davening, so the Beis HaKnesses improves the davening. Tashmishei mitzvah. And just like Tashmishei mitzvah and Nizrakim, so let's say all the Jews move out from the neighborhood, they move out from the Bronx and they all move to Flatbush or they all move to Muncie, whatever. So nobody davens in the shul anymore. So the Ramban writes, Mi'ikarat din deraisa, after all the Jews move away, they no longer plan to use that building. As a Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha disappears, vanishes into thin air min HaTorah. And the whole din in the Gemara, Malam HaKadosh Olam HaRidin, that the Zayin Tuvli here, B'mai Ben Anshir here, should sell the shul, and then the money that they get, that she Malam HaKadosh Olam HaRidin, the Beis HaKnesses is Teifes Domov. The Beis HaKnesses Yotze L'chulin, because someone buys the building and he converts it into an apartment house, or he converts it into a library or hospital, whatever he uses it for. So the money that you get from those who bought the Beis HaKnesses, you have to use that money, Malam HaKadosh, you have to use the money to buy something more Kodesh than the Beis HaKnesses. Ramban thinks that whole idea is all a Chumim with the Rabbanim. He thinks the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses Min HaTorah is only Kol Zman that the people use it for the mitzvah of davening. It's a Tashmishei mitzvah. And after everybody moves out of the neighborhood, they don't plan to daven there anymore. So then the Kedusha vanishes on the level of the Raisa. And whatever you do is only with the Rabbanim. That's why we assume that the people shouldn't really sell the shul to be mafkir the kedusha until after they stop davening there. Let's say the community puts together, they have a shul, and they want to make a bigger shul. So they build, let's say, they're going to build another shul. Where are they going to get all the money to build the other shul? So they have to raise money. So some do the following. They sell the old shul to somebody else, and they say, we're going to rent the shul from you. But they're still davening in the shul. When they sell it to someone else, still davening in the shul. So then the other person or the other group who buys the shul gives them $10 million for the building, and then they use that towards the building of the new shul. Then when the new shul is finished, everybody moves to the new shul. But what was mafkir the kedusha of the old shul? So the Ramban writes that the correct way to do it is first you have to stop davening in the old shul. And once you stop davening in the old shul, you don't plan to go back. Then the kedusha leaves Min HaTorah. After the Kedusha is no longer there in HaTorah, then with the Rabban, they said, you sell it, and Hegdash is Yotzil Chulan Agadei Pidyon. So the Hegdash is Tefes is Domov. So the money that they pay to buy the shul, so that money is Nitfes B'Kedusha with the Rabban. That's only with the Rabban. So it's Nitfes B'Kedusha, and then use that money for something, a higher level of Kedusha. You use it to buy Sefer Torah or something like that. But sometimes they don't do like that. Sometimes they first sell the shul. They're still davening in the shul. They're still davening a couple of years in the shul after they sold it to another group. And then they're renting it from the new group. So that's not really right. The Ramban says the way to do it is first to move away from the neighborhood. It's no longer used. So it's Tashmishei mitzvah, lachazman mitzvah son. And then the chumer with the Ramban comes in, you have to sell. So that's the Ramban shita. The Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is a Tashmishei mitzvah. Like a lulav, like a talis. And the Ran quotes the Ramban and he disagrees. He thinks that it's not the Tashmishei mitzvah. He thinks it's Tashmishei kedusha, because the Gemara in the end of Megillah quotes the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Navi Yecheskel was before the Churban Abayis, during and after the Churban. He went through the Churban Abayis. So he says that B'nevua, the Jewish people will be taken into Golas Bavel, and they won't have a Beis HaMikdash, but they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Hey, lahem leMikdash meyat. What is the miniature Beis HaMikdash that they're going to have in Bavel? So the Gemara in the end of Megillah says that's a reference to Eilu Bati, you're going to see this about him in Rosh Hashanah Bavel. So that's a machloikis Rishonim. Is that the real pshat? Or is that an asmachta? So the Chayodin quotes the Yireim, that's the real pshat. That Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash meyat on the level of the Raisa. That's what the Novi said. The Ran on the Rif Amigila thinks that whole comment is only an asmachta. That's not really pshat. But he says the asmachta is that a Beis HaKnesses is a migdash miyat. It's similar to the Beis HaMikdash. So if you put two and two together, if you want to say, like the Ran, that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is patterned after Kedushas Beis Hamikdash, and the Rambam says Kedushas Beis Hamikdash is only if you assume that the Rambam is taking a stand on a halachic issue. The Rambam understood that part of the historical machlok is where were the luchas during the Bais Sheni period, and the Rambam is paskening la halacha that he's assuming that it was in the basement, so he's assuming that al pidin you can't have a Beis Hamikdash without Orem with the luchas. Then the Rambam should say that you can't have a Beis HaKnesses unless you have an Orem Kodesh with the Sefer Torah. So according to the Ramban, that a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is Tashmishei Mitzvah, Beis HaKnesses is an object, a tangible object, a room, a building, that enables you to daven better. So a lot of businessmen have in their offices, they have one room dedicated. That's where they daven Mincha Maariv every day. They only use that room for davening. So according to the Ramban, that would have the status of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. It's miyuchad for davening. But the Rambam sounds like he says in Hilchas Tfilah, when the Rambam has all the dinim of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, he sounds very much like he says that if you have a shul, it only has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses if you have an Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh doesn't necessarily have to be in the room where the people daven. In the days of the Gemara, it seems that the Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah used to be in a different room in the building. And Sheni v'Chamishi and Shabbos, they would bring it into the sanctuary where they would daven, but it'll be in the same building. It has to be like in the Beis Hamikdash, when the Aron didn't always have to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Sometimes for many centuries it was in the basement below the ground, but it was in the building of the Beis Hamikdash. So when the Rambam is talking mashmal like that, Rav Soloveitchik thought that if you have a Beis HaKnesses that's only miyuchad for davening mincha maariv, they don't have a Sefer Torah there kavua, then it doesn't have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, because the Rambam seems to hold like the Ran, that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is not based on Tashmishi Mitzvah, but rather Tashmishi Kedusha, and Tashmishi Kedusha has to be latched on to some Torah. So the Torah is the Shul has to have a Sefer Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik, after he discussed Kedushas Beis HaMikdash and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, that everything we understand like Rav Chaim Volozhiner, this all Tashmishi Kedusha have to have psukim. There's a Melchamis in the end of Moed Katan where the Ramban and Melchamis talks about a passage in Maseches Moches. Maseches Moches was written in the days of the Goinim. The Goini Eretz Yisrael wrote these Masechtes Ktanas. So it says there that there's a Machlekes Satanaim, are you permitted to bury Mesim with a talus? So the Gemara says, the Gemara Menachos had Perak Atchilas, there's a machlekes where the tzitzis is chavis gabra chavis mona. What if I have a talus in the drawer, but I'm not ready to wear it yet? I'm going to put it on Rosh Hashanah. I bought a new talus for Rosh Hashanah, white on white, and I'm not ready to wear it yet. So one opinion is, once you buy the talus, even if it's sitting in the drawer, tzitzis is the chavis talus, chavis mona. The beggar is mechuyev even if you're not wearing it. And we don't pass like that. The Gemara says, we pass on Chayvus Gavra. There's only a mitzvah to put on tzitzis when you wear it. So the Gemara says, even according to the opinion that you have as a Chayvus Mana, the beggar is muhib even if it's sitting in the drawer. But that's only if you plan to wear it in the future. What if you buy Tachrichim and you plan to use it when you die? They're going to bury you in the Tachrichim. And Tachrichim have four corners. So the Gemara says, you're not muhib to put tzitzis. Even if your tzitzis is Chayvus Mana, that clay kufsa, the four-cornered garment in the drawer is chayv and tzitzis, but tachrichim in the drawer not chayv and tzitzis, because it's not oimid lelevisha. He doesn't plan to wear it during his lifetime. So not chayv and tzitzis. But then the Gemara says, however, but he shaita v'adir aminan, when you bury him, though, in the talus, then you do have to put on tzitzis. Why? Mesim chavshim. So the Gemara says, if you're going to bury the mace with a four-cornered garment without tzitzis, that's a violation of Loig LaRosh Cheir, if I say. You're burying him in the mace, but that's it. You're demonstrating that the mace is unfortunately Potam and Amditzis. Mace Mchabshim, Apostle says, Potam and Amditzis. So the Gemara says, Beferish, that you're supposed to put tzitzis in the Begad Shal Mace. And the common practice is that we pasal the tzitzis. So what is that based on? So the Ramban writes in the Muhammad, that's based on a passage in the Maseches Moches, where there's a Machlokes Hatanaim. Is it permissible to bury a mace with tzitzis? Why should it be prohibited? What's the issue? What's the avera to bury a mace with a kosher talus? So the Ramban suggests that the Machlokes HaTanoim as presented in the Maseches Machlokes is whether tzitzis is a tashmish mitzvah or a tashmish kedusha. If it's a tashmish kedusha, then it's a bizoyan to the tzitzis to be with a mace. If it's only tashmish mitzvah, then it's not a bizoyan. I don't understand it, but that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban came up as if that's a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether tzitzis is tashmish mitzvah or tashmish kedusha. In the Gemara in the Bavli, we don't have a machlokes. Gemara in the Bavli quoted the Braisa Megillah. All religious articles are divided into two categories. And the Talis that sits is Tashmish and Mitzvah. It's not Tashmish and Kedusha. And when you have the old Talis and no one wants to wear it anymore, so you throw it out in the garbage. Tashmish and Mitzvah on Nizrakim. It just says you shouldn't, when you have Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba, I think the Masechah Shabbos quotes this from the Ravid. That when you have an old talis that no one wants to wear anymore, and you want to throw it out in the garbage, it's not right to throw it out with the dirty diapers and the same garbage, and the chicken bones and the fish bones, with the dirty diaper with the dirty garbage. So it says you put the talis in a separate bag and then throw it out in the garbage. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. When you have tashmish and mitzvah and zrakim, you shouldn't be mevazir. But so the Mohammed claims that the Machlokes HaTanoim and the Maseches Machas, where there is prohibited to bury a mace with a talis, is a shayla where the talis is Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha. But in the Bavli, it's never quoted. We assume it's only Tashmishi Mitzvah. So the question is, all right, so we explained, according to the thinking of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, why a Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha and why Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha. Because you have the Beit Torah, the Beis HaMikdash has the Orem with the Luchas, and the Beis HaKnesses has the Sefer Torah. What about Eretz Yisrael? What do you have? Psukim engraved on the trees, the Psukim on the grass. Where are the Psukim in Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Soloveitchik was delivering this Yahrzeit Rosh. So there was a big crowd in Lampert Auditorium, and he threw out the question. He used to throw out questions to the audience to get their response. So he said, what was the Mekadosh of the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael, Kibush, and the Chalukah was the Gemara Kibush, that's the Rama. So he said, who made the Kibush? And Eretz Yisrael, everybody screamed at the Jewish army in the days of Yeshua Benon. So he said, no, the Oren HaBris. It says in Sefer Yeshua, Oren HaBris Ha'olach Levneim, and Oren HaBris knocked down all the enemies. They said the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Oren HaBris with the Luchas. That's how they accomplished the Kedusha Soretz. So that's why we say there's such a thing as Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, because there were the Psukim, the Psukim in the Luchas were the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. So then Rav Soloveitchik said, but what about the second time around in the days of Ezra Nehemiah? If the Mekadosh was, the Rama says, Mekadosh was Kibush in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the Kibush was undone. And then the Mekadosh in the Baisheni period, the beginning of Baisheni period, was the chazoke, and he didn't like Rabbi Yisrael Zalman's pshat. Chazoke means kinyi chazoke. He said, chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to say that. The Jewish people never lost their ownership. And he used to always say in public, also, we don't have to be appreciative, we don't have to have a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Palestine. It never belonged to the British. It always belonged to the Jews all the years. Since the days of Avraham Avinu until today, that's what the Chazon Ish writes as well. That's why there was a bris. That was why the Baruch Shalom, after he gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, he made a bris with Avraham, with Yitzchak and Yaakov. What do you need a bris? He already gave it to Avraham Avinu. So the answer is because there is an institute, there is a din of Kibush Melchama. That's an international din. That's in today's Sedra. The Gemara points out, Amun Amoyav Tiharu B'sichan. The Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, when we go to conquer Eretz Yisrael, we're not allowed to start up with Ammon. We're not allowed to start up with Moab. We're not allowed to take any of their areas. Ki Yerusha Libnei Esav, Yerusha Libnei Seir, Nasati is. Ammon and Moab belongs to the Bnei Lot. We're not allowed to take it. But the Pasuk says that we took areas that used to belong to Ammon and Moab. The Pasuk in today said, so the Gemara says in the Yibamas, Ammon and Moab tiharu b'sichan. There's an international din of Kibush Melchama that whenever one country wages war against another country, whether Behet or Abiyisa, does make a difference. The country who wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property of the country who lost the war. So the lands that used to belong to Ammon and Moab switched ownership when Sichon, Melech Amori, waged war against them, and he acquired them, so they belonged to Sichon. And then we took from Sichon. But when we took it away from Sichon, it no longer belonged to Ammon Amori. That's the din of Kibush Muhammad. The Gemara says the din of Kibush Muhammad goes when one non-Jewish nation wins a war against another one, Ammon Amoyev Tiharu B'Sichon, Sichon won the war against Ammon Amoyev, then it applies if the Jewish people wage war, win the war against the Goyim, or the Goyim win the war against the Jewish people. The Gemara doesn't talk about a possibility of the Jewish people waging war against the Jewish people. They don't have, Baruch Hashem, they don't visualize such a situation of Jews waging war against Jews. But Goyim waging war against Goyim that you have all the time, Ma'isim B'chol Yom, so Ammon Amoyev Tiharu B'Sichon. Then the Gemara says, commenting on the pasuk, "Vayish b'menu shevi." You had it in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. "Vayish b'menu shevi." So the Gemara understands the pasuk. The Jewish people. The Gemara says, "Vayish b'menu shevi shivcha achas." So the Gemara understands pshat. The Jewish people captured one shivcha achas from the goyim, and then the goyim recaptured that shivcha achas. "Vayish b'menu shevi." The goyim took back captive the girl that the Jewish people had captured. So you see from that pasuk, the Gemara says, when the Jewish people captured the girl when they won the war, so that girl belonged to the Jewish people. Then when the Goyim won the battle against the Jews and they took back that girl, so they were kind of back. So the Jews win the war against the Goyim, or the Goyim win the war against the Jews, so Kibush Muhammad is kind of. So really, we should have lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was taken over by the Babylonian armies and at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, then it was taken over by the Romans and the Greeks and so on. So that's Kibush Muhammad. So that's what the Chazanish explains. That's what the Bris was all about. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a Bris with Avram, with Yitzchak and Yankov. Eretz Yisrael will always belong to the Jewish people. And that's the opening comment that Rashi has on Chumash. Bereishis Bara Lakim, so Rashi quotes the Medrash by the name of Rav Yitzchak. Why does the Torah tell you the whole story of Bereishis? Get to the point. Start right away with HaChodesh L'Lachem, is the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. Start from Parshas Bo'i. What are you starting from Bereishis? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Koch Ma'isav Higel Li'am Alos L'Lachem Nachlas Goyim, that the Umas Olam will come in the future and say, Listem Atem, that the Jewish people are Gazlon, and we had no right to take Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to the Umas Olam. That's what Rav Soloveitchik would often say in public. I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times. Listem Atem, that the Arabs are always complaining, the Jews are Gazlonim. Listem Atem, he stole Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah writes, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Ribono Shel Olam created the world, and everything belongs to him. Whoever creates something owns it. And the Ribono Shel Olam had a right to give it to the Umas Olam, then he had a right to take it away and give it to the Jewish people. So he gave it to Avraham Avinu. And if he would have only made a kinyan without a shvu, without a bris, so Avraham Avinu could forfeit his kinyan. When the Babylonians will take it away from the Jews, or some will take it away, so they'll be kind of with Kibush Muhammad. So that's why the Ribono Shel Olam made a bris, and a bris is a shvu. Shvu means I'll call upon him under all circumstances. We never lost our ownership. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Chazanish, from the days of Avraham Avinu, Ado Yamaz, the Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. So, but the Mekadosh was, the Kedusha Rishon, the Mekadosh was the Kibush. The Kibush was undone by the Babylonian armies. So when Ezra and Nehemiah were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time, Ayidei Chazokah, how did that happen? And why is Ayidei Chazokah better than Ayidei Kibush? So Ayidei, since they were kind and not through Kibush, rather the Chazokah, so that doesn't lend itself to be undone Ayidei Kibush. What does it mean, Chazokah? So different times, Absalvechi gave different suggestions. So on some occasions, he would suggest, Chazokah is very unclear. What does it mean? So on some occasions, he suggested that the Rambam writes all of this in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rambam writes, Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon because the Kedusha rested on Kibush and it was undone at the time of the Babylonian armies conquering Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha was undone. The Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, though, the Rambam says, the Rambam's opinion is, was Kedusha Rishon Kitcha Losilova. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Kedusha remained Arayam Hazeh from that time. Why? Because the Kedusha is based on Migdash. It doesn't rest on Kibush. It rests on Hashvas HaShchinah. The Shchinah is Eina B'Teila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zos menuchasa yad yad po eshet kivi siwa. The Shekhinah is there all along. So that's what the Rambam writes. The Gemara in different places assumes not so. The Gemara is not like the Rambam. They're different Gemaras. The Gemara puts together the question whether Kitcha Lossi Lover by the Eretz Yisrael and Kitcha Lossi Lover by the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara puts it together. So the Tosfos already points out the Megillah, Daf Yud HaMelal, Tosfos quotes Rav Chaim Cohen, the Talmud of the Arbein HaTam, that there seem to be other Gemaras that distinguish. There's room to say that Kedusha Sa'aretz is Batla during the 7 years of Golas Babylon, and the Kedusha HaMikdash is still there. That's what the Rambam holds. The Rambam holds that during the 7 years of Golas Babylon, Kedusha Sa'aretz is always Batla, but the Kedusha HaMikdash is there because the Shechina ain't a Betela. Kedusha HaMikdash was there from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Adayim Azeh, nothing changed. And the Rabbi writes also that it's not totally Zebizeh, but in the other direction. The Rabbi writes that today, Kedusha Shniyah of Eretz Yisrael is Kitcha Lossi Lovoi. All of Eretz Yisrael still has Kedusha Bizman HaZeh, Min HaTorah, but the Kedusha HaMikdash is Batla, the Rabbi thinks. The Rabbi, because the Rabbi says, Yedei Yehoya Ezra, the Rabbi then, Hilchas Beis HaPchira, Perek Vov or something. So the Rabbi writes, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew in advance that it was going to be Chorev, because they were told in the days of the Meraglim. And the Chumash doesn't really say that explicitly, but it says it in Yecheskel and Tehillim, the Netziv points out. It says in Yecheskel and Tehillim that they were told right away after the Chet HaMeraglim that when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and they will be sent into Golas. So then Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKadosh, what's going to be the second Beis HaMikdash that they'll build after they come back from the Golas Babel? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? So Shlomo HaMelech said, Imchayma hi nivna lehatiras kesev in delasi, what's all alu acharis. So the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma understands, Imchayma him yaluk achayma. If everybody will come back from Babel together, then nivna lehatiras kesev. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure. She'ein harekim sholid, but it won't rot away. Second Beis HaMikdash will not be destroyed. However, in Delasi, it'll be a shvacha aliyah, which it was. Hardly anybody came back from Golas Babel. A very small percentage of the population, Jewish population, came back there. It's so then, not so allah luachores. And the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, luachores, shaharekim sholid, but wooden huts are going to rot away. So the Rabbi writes, Yedei Yehoya Ezra. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was also Lechor. He knew, because that's what it says in Shir Hashim. Emdela said, not so allah luachores. Hardly anybody came back with him. So he knew it was going to be Chorev. So the Rabbi writes, Ezra, when he built the second Beis HaMikdash, knew that it's going to be Chorev. So just like Shlomo HaMelech knew that the first Beis HaMikdash is going to be Chorev, so therefore when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, it was only Mekadoshet L'zman. He only endowed the Mokam with Kedusha, Kozman, the Bais will last. And after the Bais will be Chorev, so he didn't want it to be Kodesh. That's what the Rabbi writes. It's questionable, can you do that? You make a Kedusha only this man and the Kedusha disappears. The Pashtus and the Gemara in the middle of Nedarim and the Aflamed, that Kedusha lo epoke b'chdi. You can't make Kedusha l'shloshim yom. I'm a Kedusha woman, I say, I read Mekodeshesli only for a year, a trial period. And if we're not happy at the end of the year, the Kedusha should vanish into thin air. So the Gemara says there is no such din. Kedusha can't. The Gemara compares it to a korban. A Magdash, a korban shloshim yom. And after shloshim yom, should no longer be Hegdash. And I wasn't makrivit in the 30 days. So the Gemara said, the Kedusha doesn't disappear into thin air. Kedusha aguf le'pok ha'vichdi. So how can it be the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash disappeared by itself? So that's a problem. But that's what the Rabbi writes. You have to figure out. So the Rabbi writes, that Bizman HaZeh, there is Kedusha on all of Eretz Yisrael min HaTorah, but there's no Kedusha HaMikdash, because Yedei Yehoya Ezra, Shasid Lehechorev, so he's only Mekadoshet L'zman. So the Rambam and the Rabbi both do not accept this idea that appears in the Gemara in a few places, that it's the same question, whether Kitcha Lossi Lovoi, it's the same question regarding Kedusha Soretz and Kedusha HaMikdash. The Rambam distinguishes in one direction, the Rabbi distinguishes in the other direction. The Rambam thinks that during the 70 years of Golas Bavel, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz, but there was Kedusha HaMikdash. The Rabbi thinks the reverse, that Bezman HaZeh, there is Kedusha Sa'aretz, but there's no Kedusha HaMikdash. And that's basically what Rav Chaim Cohen says in Megillah Daf Yud. He says, even though the Gemara in a few places equates the two, where the Kitcha Lossi Lovoi, Kedusha Sa'aretz and Kedusha HaMikdash, but there's room to distinguish between the two. So Rav Soloveitchik on some occasion interpreted that maybe the Rambam's expression is mysterious. He said Kedusha Shnia is based on Chazaka. What does the word Chazaka mean? So Abis Zalman said Chazaka means Kinyi Chazaka. We acquired ownership again. So he didn't accept that. He says we never lost our ownership. He didn't like that pshat. I remember once Moshe Shmuel Shapiro was visiting in America and he spoke in Rabbi Wurzburger Shul on Shabbos Parsha Shlach. He was giving a whole, he goes with Maharal Miprag, he's in Kabbalah, a lot Kabbalah. So he was assuming that he was assuming Pshat and Ram Chazaka means Kinyah Chazaka. He was assuming like Abis Zalman Meltzer. So I was sitting next to Rabbi Wurzburger, Rabbi Walter Wurzburger at that time. So he kept on bumbling to me, that's not Pshat and Ramah. It doesn't mean Chazaka, Kinyah Chazaka. He must have heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik that he didn't like that Pshat at all. So Rabbi Soloveitchik on occasion said Pshat Chazaka means, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, first there were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, and then centuries later, Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rish, and he was Mekadosh, the Makam HaMikdash. In the days of the Bais Sheni, they first built the Bais HaMikdash, they were Mekadosh, the Bais HaMikdash, and the Kedusha Sa'aretz was an extension of Kedusha HaMikdash. The Kedusha, the Yishuv, in the days of Bais Sheni, the Yishuv began with Yerushalayim, by building the Bais HaMikdash, and then it spread out around the Beis HaMikdash. And then question how far it went. There were many krachim, there were many areas in Eretz. Ahabri krachim kovshu ala Mitzrayim, v'lo kovshu ala Babel. There were areas that had a kedusha rishon that they never got a kedusha shnia. But everything began from the Mokam HaMikdash. And one suggestion Rav Soloveitchik gave was, the Loshen is mysterious. The Rambam says, the kedusha shnia of Eretz was like, Dei Chazaka. Maybe what it means is, they moved in, Chazaka means they moved in, like Cheskabatim. The Jewish people moved in and they extended the Kedushas HaMikdash further. So all the, whatever areas in Eretz Yisrael, the Amikadosh, was an extension of the Kedushas HaMikdash. So Kedushas HaMikdash, Rambam says, is Le'batla because it stems from the Shechina. So therefore, the Kedusha Shnia was Le'batla because it was rooted in Kedushas HaMikdash. That was one suggestion. Then on the occasion of this, Yotzei Drasha, so Rav Soloveitchik gave another suggestion. So he said, maybe the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was Kibush. So then he said, who made the Kibush? Everybody screamed at the Jewish army. Yeshua ben Nun's army said, no, the Aron HaBris made the Kibush. So the Mekadosh was rooted in Torah Shebichsav. So he said, what happened right before Ezra came back to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash? That was Nes Purim. This poem is 2-3 years right before Binyan Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara understands Kima v'kiblu Kima mashi kiblu kvar. And the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Noach has a long ariches that the Torah Shebichsav, the Bnei Yisrael accepted the Har Sinai, said Nasu v'nishma on the Torah Shebichsav. And Kof Aleim Har Kigigas, that was on the Torah Shebal Peh. Because Torah Shebal Peh is very difficult and very complicated and very detailed. Torah Shebichsav is not that difficult. Shabbos, Kashmir, Taras, HaMashpacha didn't seem to be so complicated. But once you get to the Dark Chuvah and the Pischei Chuvah and the Rishayim and the Achrayim, the whole Torah Shabbat Peh is very complicated. So that's what the Medrash Tanchuma, Parsha Noach says, Rishafeh Harish Ve'yeh Shal Heves Yoh, Torah Shabbat Peh is complicated. So that they didn't want to accept. And Rabbanu Shalom Eskof Aleim Harki Gigas, Hori Kiblu B'meach HaShverish. So maybe, Rav Soloveitchik thought, maybe the Kedusha Shnia was based on the Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. The Kedusha Bishoyin of Eretz Yisrael extended from Torah Shebichsav. And the Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael the second time around, maybe it extended from the fact that they accepted Torah Shebal Peh. How it fits into the word Chazaka is questionable. We know the Rambam says Kedusha was like the Chazaka. What does it have to do with Chazaka is a question. There is, Rav Soloveitchik did mention this, there is a little Taisvis, a tiny little Taisvis in Nazir, really has nothing to do with Nazir. And I got it that there in Nazir, so Taisvis writes an innocent comment that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah, like Rav Soloveitchik learned in the Rambam. He taught his Mashma in the Rambam in Hilchas Tfila, that if you have the Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't have a Sefer Torah Kavua in the building, it doesn't have a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Not like the Ramban, that it's a Tashmishei Mitzvah, because Beis HaKnesses is a physical item, a structure that helps you daven better. No, it has to be like the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kedushas Pesach Knesset stems from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah, Torah Shebichsav, and the Kedushas Pesach Medrash, Tosfos says, stems from the fact that they learned Torah Shebaal Peh. That's a little Tosfos and Nazir. It's really unrelated to the Gemara and Nazir. It has nothing to do with the Gemara and Nazir. The Gemara has in the end of Megillah an interesting Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, which has a higher level of Kedusha. The Gemara assumes that a Beis HaKnesses, which is Miyuchad Be'ikah for davening, and a Beis HaMedrash is Miyuchad Be'ikah for learning, do not have the same level of Kedusha. One is higher than the other, but they have a Machlekes, which one is higher? What's the difference? Which one is higher? The difference is, Malam HaKadosh Elom Maridin, are you permitted to convert a shul to make it into a Beis HaMedrash, a yeshiva? Or are you permitted to convert a yeshiva to make it into a shul? So whichever one is higher, that's Malam HaKadosh Elom Maridin. So the Gemara assumes that's Machlokes, then the Gemara assumes that the din is like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha. So the simple reading of the Gemara there is that they're discussing Abayis HaGadol. The Tanakh has an expression that when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy Yerushalayim, so they destroyed everything, even Habayis HaGadol. So what's Habayis HaGadol? Bayis HaMegadlim BaTorah, or Bayis HaMegadlim BaTfilah. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's a machlokes, which has a higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses, or the Beis HaMedrash, which is a higher mitzvah, davening or learning. That's what it sounds like, or something similar to that. That seems to be Pashim Shah. But according to the way Tosfos writes there in Nazir, there's a round of Chav Gimel and Beis HaSam, a tiny little Tosfos there, four-line Tosfos. Not related at all. Again, not related to the Gemara in Nazir at all. There's an Agadita there. It has nothing to do with the Agadita. So maybe Tosfos understood that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is based on Torah Shebichsav. Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is based on Torah Shebaal Peh. And maybe that's the Machlokes, which is on a higher level of Kedusha, the Torah Shebichsav, or the Torah Shebaal Peh. I don't know. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the reason why Kedusha Vishayna was Batlon, Kedusha Shniyah not, maybe the Kedusha Vishayna was created al yidei Torah Shebichsav, so that lends itself to Bitl. But Kedusha Shniyah was created al yidei Torah Shebaal Peh, that doesn't lend itself to Bitl. He didn't explain why. I added on, this part is not from Rav Soloveitchik, I added on that Rav Soloveitchik on another occasion spoke about a contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara says in the third perek in Moed Katan, perek Eilu Megalchen has all the dinim of Rip and Kri, all the dinim of Avelus. The Gemara says if someone burns a Sefer Torah to be mevazet, if it's an accident, a fire, then you don't rip Kriya. But if someone burns a Sefer Torah to destroy it, to be mevazet, so you have to rip two Kriyas. One Kriya ala Gvil, the parchment is burned, and one Kriya ala Ksav, that the words are being destroyed. So you see that when someone destroys a Sefer Torah, he destroys the words and he destroys the parchment. And you have to rip two Kriyas. But then there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think in the first parak, and the Gemara talks about some of the Haruge Malchus after the Churban Baisheni period. So the Gemara says that when they tortured Rabbi Akiva, so they burnt him to death. So I think the Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Akiva, maybe it's the other Tana. So the Gemara says, Tosfos says, and the Gemara, apparently they were Talmidim there, and Rabbi Akiva was looking back and forth. He was looking at something. They didn't see what he was looking at. So they asked Rabbi Akiva, Ma Taraya, what are you looking at? So he says, he sees that the Gvil in this Ruffin, the Goyim are burning him with the Sefer Torah. He sees the parchment is burned, but the Goyim are not succeeding in burning the letters. Osias Perchas Bavir. The letters of the Sefer Torah are flying.
Chanini Ben Tradin.
So the Gemara there seems to say that when the Goyim burn the Sefer Torah, they only succeed in burning the cloth, but they don't succeed in burning the Osias. So why does the Gemara say in Moed Katan that when someone burns a Sefer Torah, you have to rip two kriyas, one on the klaf, one on the ksav, if the ksav is osias perchas bavir. That's the kasha. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested at Teret, this was in the middle of the Second World War, when the Nazis, he was in America already, and the Nazis were destroying the yeshivas and killing all the tzaddikim, killing so many Jewish people. So he suggested that there's a difference between if a Jew burns the Sefer Torah or a Goy. If the Goy burns the Sefer Torah, he only has the ability to burn the klaf. He doesn't succeed in burning the words. But the Gemara in Maikotan is talking about when a Jew burns the Sefer Torah. When a Jew makes a churban, a Jew can make a bigger churban than the Goy. The Goy, the Jew can even succeed in burning the klaf, even succeed in burning the oisias. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said at Derech HaDrash. So I thought perhaps he can say Derech HaLocha, a different answer to that stira. Maybe the answer is like this. Rav Chanina ben Tradion and Rav Akiva, all of those tzaddikim, they were teaching Torah Shebal Peh. They had a Sefer Torah in front of them, but they were using the Sefer Torah as a text, and then they were giving a shiur on Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh belongs to the world of ideas. You can't burn an idea. The ideas are going to last on forever. Torah Shebichsav is a tangible object. You burn the Torah Shebichsav, so you destroy everything. You destroy the Ksav, you destroy the Oisius, and you destroy the Klaf. But Torah Shebal Peh can't be, whatever belongs to the world of ideas can't be destroyed. It's not a tangible object. So I thought maybe that's the difference. Marin, my cotton says you have to rip two kriyas because the fellow is destroying the Sefer Torah. He's destroying a Torah Shebichsav. So everything is destroyed. But Torah Shebal Peh, the Rav Chanina ben Tradion, Rabbi Akiva, they're using a Sefer Torah to give a shiur. So whatever they say, or the yeshivas in Europe, yeshivas when they destroyed all the yeshivas in Europe. So after the war was over, there's more learning now than there ever was before. Because all the Torah Shebal Peh went up to heaven. It's Osius Perchas Bahavir. Torah Shebichsav, Svarim you can burn, but ideas you can't destroy. So I thought maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's the pshat. If the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was based on the kibush accomplished by the Oren HaBris, which is Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebichsav is a tangible object that lends itself to Churban. So just like the Torah Shebichsav lends itself to Churban, so the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around in the days of Yishuv Benom, was based on Torah Shebichsav. So that Kedusha lends itself to Churban also. So when there was Churban Ha'aretz by the Babylonian armies, they undid the kibush of the Jewish people. The whole Kedusha vanished into thin air, disappeared into thin air. But the Kedusha, if one should assume the Kedusha Shnia was Chal HaYidei Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh, so Torah Shebal Peh belongs to the world of ideas. So Torah Shebal Peh doesn't lend itself to Churban. It's going to be Osis Perchas Bavir. So the Kedusha of Eretz saw that it's based on Torah Shebal Peh also can't lend itself to Churban. So maybe that's why it's Kitcha Lossi Lova. Rav Soloveitchik didn't, he was already old when he delivered that Yahrzeit Roshim. So he didn't finish the whole idea. He didn't explain why. He just suggested maybe Kedusha B'Shoina was based on Torah Shebichsav, and that lent itself to Churban. Torah Shebal Peh, not. Kedusha Shnei was not. So it could be a possibility. Maybe this is the connection between the two themes in Parshas Dvarim. The Netziv claims that the opening theme is that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving up all the style of Pilpula Shel Torah, all the ideas of how to develop using the Torah Shebal Peh, how to develop halachas, how to come to maskanas. So the original plan was that Moshe Rabbeinu can keep that for his family, for his descendants. They'll be the poskim on all halachas. They'll develop the halachas. What he was instructed to teach Bnei Yisrael was the bottom line, halacha lemaisa, teach him chukim and mishpatim, which are the 613 mitzvot, and what are all the details. Moshe Rabbeinu is noag tavisai, and he wanted to give it over to the Bnei Yisrael. So maybe the reason why he wanted to give it over was because he knew that it's supposed to be from the Chet HaMeraglim. This was the month before he died. This is in Chodesh Shvat, and he dies in Zayin Adar a month later. So he knew, he was told at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, that's what it says in Yecheskel and Tehillim, that there will be a churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the Kedusha Soaretz to disappear. So he wanted that the Kedusha Rishonu should be based on Torah Shebal Peh. But Bnei Yisrael didn't accept Torah Shebal Peh. It was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. That's why you have very little, you don't have so much development of the Torah Shebal Peh during the Bais Rishon period. The main development is after the Golas Bavel, after the Nes Purim, after they accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzon, Hari Kiblu, the Meach HaShverish, Kim Lo Kiblu, when they accepted the Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzon, then you have the main development. The Gemara has a little bit. Yo Yoda HaKoyen, the Mishnah and Shkolim called Zem Medrash Dorish Yo Yoda HaKoyen. Yo Yoda HaKoyen is a biblical figure. He was a Kohen Gadol and a Tizer by his vision. He came up with the Din Adrasha from a Pasuk that Moshe Chatus Kori Vailo. So the Mishnah and Shkolim quotes it. The Gemara talks about it in different places, the Din. If you have leftover money from a Chatus, you use it to buy a Oilas Nidlas Tzibur. You have very little. You have, in the days of when David HaMelech died, there was an issue with Muktzeh. So apparently the Din of Muktzeh already existed in days of David HaMelech. David HaMelech died on Shabbos, so he couldn't move the body. And then Shlomo HaMelech introduced him to the Sedayim. And in Erevin, they were developing Dinim, the Rabbanim, developing a little bit Torah Shabbat Peh, but the main development was later. So maybe that's the connection between the two themes. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to transmit the whole, all the Seudas. He was a Tovayan. He wanted to give everything to Bnei Yisrael, maybe because he wanted that the Kedusha Rishayna should be based on Torah Shabbat Peh, and the Kedusha Rishayna should be Loi Batl, should be the Olamis. But it didn't work. It didn't work because since they didn't accept the Beratzim. So maybe that's the connection between the two things, between the Mesira of the Pilpula Shalter to the Bnei Yisrael and the Inyan of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. I remember once I was in Boston on Shabbos, Parshas Masei. Matas and Masei were separate that year. And so Rav Soloveitchik was makbid in onset, that people were in onset on vacation. So they had to drive back, those had to go to work. They had to drive back on Monday morning. Some of the people drove back and forth, they commuted every day. So Monday morning of Parshas Masseh, he would lay into the Kohen till the end of the Membeis Masos, after Sedra. Then the Levi and the Shlishi got more aliyahs. So I remember, so I was in onset Parshas, the middle of the week. And then Shabbos, Parshas Masseh, I happened to be by my relatives in Boston. So they gave me, and the Rav was also, Rav Soloveitchik was also in Boston for Shabbos. So they gave me Shlishi by Mincha. So by Mincha, Parshas Masseh, he lay in Dvar. So the third Oyla gets until Sheni in Dvar. So the Balkori lay until Sheni, and then he stopped. And then I was about to say the Bracha Shanasan Lanu. Rav Soloveitchik started telling him, no, lay until Shlishi. He said, where he came from in Europe, the minig was that on Shabbos afternoon on Masseh, when you lay in Dvarim, and on Sheni Vachamish in the morning, you lay until Shlishi. Don't just lay until Sheni, unusual. Why? There are 10 psukim till Sheni because the concluding pasuk in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazayin, Parshas Dvarim is always Shabbos Chazayin. So the concluding pasuk says, "Tiyam b'mishpatipah devishaveh habitzdaka," that the Gula Hasidah, the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, and another place also Megillah, the Gula Hasidah will only take place when we will have Havmadas Dayanim Amitim. When we have crooked batidinim, unfortunately, we have a lot of them in America and Eretz Yisrael. If you have crooked batidinim, so this is ma'akev the gula. So that's what it says. Tzion b'mishpati padeh. The gula asida will take place if we'll have mishpat. And between Sheni and Shlishi and Parshas Dvarim is about hamaras hadayan. So that was the meaning where he came from. That since in the 9 days we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and it only be rebuilt in the schus amoras dayanim, who are honest dayanim. So we want to emphasize that idea, that tziyam mishpati pareh, that's the concluding pasuk in the Haftorah. There's a famous comment that they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. There's a machlokes to Mechaber and Rambam, what the nusach should be in Birchas Hamazon, where they say, Bani Yerushalayim Amen, Bani Rachamav Yerushalayim Amen. So the Mechaber says, you say, Bani Yerushalayim Amen. The Rama says that Ashkenazim have the meaning, say, Bein Rachamav Yerushalayim Amen. So the Gro usually daven Nusach Ashkenaz, we assume. Not too clear, but we assume in daven Nusach Ashkenaz. But over here, he thought that he should follow the practice of the Mechaber to say, Bein Yerushalayim Amen. Why? So he gave a mashal. He gave a mashal that let's say I borrowed $1,000 from someone and he wants a mashkin. So I give him a golden watch that's worth $1,000. So, and I never pay up to $1,000. So I never pay up. He has the right to keep the mashkin. But then I plead with him, and he's moichel, he's mevata the $1,000. He wasn't obligated to be moichel, but out of the goodness of his heart, he's kind to me, and he's moichel the $1,000. The minute he's moichel the $1,000 out of the goodness of his heart, then I can bring him to a dintar, give me back the mashkin. You only have a right to hold on to the $1,000 watch, or the $900, whatever it is, or the $2,000 watch. You only have a right to hold on to the mashkin, calls man that I owe you money. But once you were moichel the money, even though I had no claim, I couldn't force you to be moichel, but you were moichel it out of the goodness of your heart. So once you're moichel, then you have to give me back the mashkin. So the Rashi Allah Torah writes, when they were building the Mishkan, in Vayakal Pikudis Edip Kudeh HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus, the Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the word Mishkan is the same letters as Mashkan, that the Beis HaMikdash was a Mashkan Allah and the same Shal Yisrael. When the Jewish people do Averis, so the Rabban Shal Olam punishes us and he destroys the Beis HaMikdash. So then someday we hope that we'll all be able to do tshuva. When we do tshuva, the Rabban Shal Olam doesn't have to accept us. It's out of the good, the kindness of his heart. Like the person owes $1,000 to the Malveh, so he can't demand of the Malveh, I want you to be Meichel. He doesn't want to be Mevater. But if the Malveh is maskim to be Meichel, then he has to give him back the Mashkin. So that's what the only Gan Tzion, the Mishpati, the Bishaveh, the Tzedokim. When the Jewish people do tshuva, it's out of the goodness of the Rabban Shalom, out of his kindness, Tzedokah, that he's Meichelos. But once he's Meichelos, then he's Mechayev Al Pidin to give us back Tzion. Tzion be Mishpati Pade, he's Mechayev to give us back the Beis HaMikdash. Tzion means the Beis HaMishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. So once he's Meichelos, Bitzdokah, Bishaveh, Bitzdokah, that's out of the kindness of his heart, not Mechayev to, then he's Mechayev, Tzion be Mishpati Pade. So that's why the Gros said that she said, "Bein Yerushalayim Amein, not Bein Berachemov. Yerushalayim Amein, Binyan Yerushalayim, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash will be Bedin. It won't be Berachmin." That's where they quote from the Vilna Gaon.
They have
it. I don't know. When he returns, when he will return, yeah. I don't know. They, in a biography of the Chazani, of the Chafetz Chaim, they write that the Chafetz Chaim personally used to daven Nusach HaGrua, used to follow all the shittas of the Grua. In the introduction to the Mishnah Brura, I think the Mishnah Brura wrote the introduction, so he writes, he's always going to quote the Grua shita because we live in a generation where many people like to follow the shittas HaGrua. So when he's going to quote it, doesn't necessarily mean that he's being machriya, that that's the din, and just notifying those who like to follow the Grua shita. If they want to be consistent, this is the Grosh Shita. So they say that he meant himself. He personally always followed the Grosh, but he used to do it in an inconspicuous fashion. So the Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen, and they often had him bench Menzumin. So a lot of times he would bench Menzumin, he would say the whole benching out loud. He would only say till the end of the second Bracha, Al Ha'oris V'Al HaMazon, and then he would nudge his son-in-law, who was sitting next to him. He would poke him in the arm, he should take over from Rachim Noah, because he didn't want to say Rachim out loud. Because he's going to end up by the Yerushalayim Amen. He's not going to say by the Rachamab. So he didn't want it to be conspicuous. He didn't want people to see that he says a different nusach from what everybody else says. So he had his son-in-law take over in the middle. So that wasn't conspicuous. By me, I think that that's more conspicuous. I switch horses in midstream. I never saw such a thing. The halacha says you can do it. You can break up when you bench mezumen. You can have one person say the first bracha till azanas hakol. The other person say the second bracha. You can't divide in the middle of a bracha. That's a gemara. The beginning, the second omer aleph in Perek Shlosha Shachlu. Tosfos quotes the Rif like that. When you bench mezumen, you can have one person say the first bracha, one person say the second bracha, one person say the third bracha. But you can't divide up the half a bracha there. So the din is like that. But I never saw it. I never saw it. So I would think that that would be more conspicuous. But that's what they write. The Chafetz Chaim didn't want everybody to realize that, that he's not saying the regular Nusach. So he said softly, and he had it switched in the middle. He had his son-in-law take over by Rachim. The Prima Godim was a Malamed.
Chabad Chazaka Veretz Yisrael, there's a Targum Yonason Ben Azil in Parsha Shlach, this Chazaktem Lekachtem Epri Oretz. So he says there, this Chazaktem, this Savdun Chazkoso.
Uh-huh. Okay. What does that mean? They're moving in. Okay, I don't know. Good.
Okay. Maybe they'll pech me prioris.
Bashim Shah is a chalak them to bring the prior. Okay. Yeah. The Primogadim was Lamedarike. He used to teach little children. So he, in the beginning of the Primogadim on Orachayim, in addition to the Psicha Kolelis, he has Igeris Rishon and Igeris Shnia. He sent a letter to another Malamed what to be careful about when teaching the young children. So he talks about pronouncing the words correctly and so on. So he writes about, in today's Sedra, it says the listing of the mountains that the Jews conquered when they were Yarden. So it says one of the mountains is called Sneer, with a sin, Sneer, Shin Nun Yud Resh. So the Rashi says, Rashi quotes the Targum Onkel and says, Tur Talga, Har Sheleg. So Rashi writes, yeah, because the word Sneer in German means snow. So that's why the Targum Onkel says, Tur Talga, the mountain that's full of snow. So the Prima Godim assumes that the Shnei is a Shin, not a sin. So he assumes that Rashi must have had a different pronunciation of the word. Rashi didn't have the pronunciation Sneer. He must have had the pronunciation of Schneer. So that's an interesting idea. I never heard anybody suggest that maybe the Balkori should lay in the Pasuk twice, because there's a suffix what the correct reading is. Prima Godim thinks that according to Rashi, the reading is the reading should be Schneer instead of Sneer. And all of our editions, it has a Shin. In Megillas Esther, there's a question what the correct pronunciation is. Leos Kalish Sorer Beveso or Shorer Beveso. So some say based on the Masora there that the correct reading should really be Shorer Beveso. Some read the Pasuk twice. And others say that the Masora didn't mean that. That's a question, whether it's a Shin or a Sin. And today said we have in between Sheni and Shlishi, you have the Parsha of Hamoras Dayanim. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu suggested to Bnei Yisrael, Hova lachem anashim chachamim dun shivtechem. And then Bnei Yisrael agree. Why did he have to suggest and wait till they agree? So the Gemara said, that's the din. You have no right to appoint someone as a manig over the Jewish community unless the tzibur accepts it. Sometimes you have in organizations or in yeshivas, sometimes they appoint the Rosh Yeshiva against the wishes of the Talmidim. So in Europe, in Valozhin, when the Netziv appointed his son, Rav Chaim Berlin, as the Rosh Yeshiva, or in Telz also, they used to have big wars, they had battles. The Talmidim didn't accept Eman and Paras al-Tziva without the authorization. You can't appoint. So that's why the Parsha sounds like that. Moshe Rabbeinu suggested to Bnei Yisrael, wants to appoint Sa'alof, Masari Meir, Sa'ar Chamish, and Masari Hasaris. And the Tziva agrees, so then he goes ahead and he does it. In Haftarah, we have the Navi says, "Well, farischem kapechem, when you spread out your hands, Hakadosh Baruch Hu eneni shameh, he's not going to listen. What is farischem kapechem? So they have from the Vilna Gaon in the days of the Tanakh, they used to have priests' kapaim in two directions. When the Kohanim would duchen, they would hold their hands like this, as if they're giving. They're giving a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. When they would daven, they would hold their hands like this." With the open part of the hand on top, as if they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give a matana. He gives us a mashal, the opening Mishnah Masechah Shabbos. The Oni asks the docks on the door of the Balabais. Oni stretches out a hand, he wants a matana. And the Balabais gives him either kesh, he gives him food. So the Oni is asking for a matana, he holds the hands like this, Periskum Kapechem, when we daven like this, and the Balabais is giving. So when the Kohanim Duchen, they do priests Kapayim like this, they're giving the brachas. When they used to daven, they had priests' kapayim like that. How come we don't have, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech also, they did priests' kapayim by tefillah? How come today we don't have it? So Rabbi Kivei Giran Orach Haim quotes from the Achrayim in Hilchos Tefillah that since the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the Christians adopted it as a form of prayer, so that's why the Chachamim did away with it. We don't do it anymore. So we stand with our feet together, with our hands together and so on, but we don't do priests' kapayim anymore. But in days of Tanakh, that was a common practice. So the Pasuk says that Yidechem Damim Aleh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to listen to the duchening, not going to listen to the prayers, because Yidechem Damim Aleh, the people are in violation of Shvichas Damim. So he doesn't accept the duchenim. So that's a question we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Rav Soloveitchik said if a Jewish soldier in the Israeli army succeeds in killing a Palestinian terrorist, he did a big mitzvah. He's protecting, he's killing the roidev, and he's saving the nirdofim, but he's not allowed to duchen. Even if he kills b'makam mitzvah, chacham avadya, as it should be, he doesn't think that it's right. So Rav Soloveitchik brought the raya from Pinchas, that the Zohar asked the gosh, Pinchas killed Zimri ben Solu. And the Zohar, he did Kanoim Pogoma, he did the right thing, he followed Halacha. And the Zohar asked the Kasha that how is he allowed to function as a Kohen in the Mishkan if he's a Kohen Shehargas HaNefesh. So he says Kapov, so he can't be Makru Kabbanis either. That was 2 days in Tosfos, but he can't be Makru Kabbanis either. So the Zohar, the Achronim point out, the Zohar says like that opinion, they can't be Makru Kabbanis either. So you see that even the Mokam Mitzvah, then Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that David HaMelech wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash and the Rebbe Shlom didn't let him because Dam Rab Shafachto. Well, who did he kill? He killed the Palestinian terrorists. So still, the Navi told him Dam Rab Shafachto. He's not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to have his son Shlomo, who's going to be an Ish Shalom. There'll be peace during his lifetime. And he'll have the right. He will build the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Halacha Lemaisa. That's an issue. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out, based on the Pasuk in Haftarah, Tzedek Yodim Bo, Le'ator Meratzchim. For so many years, Yerushalayim is known for tzedek yodim bo. They had halona sadin. The Gemara says, indeed, in Nefashis, the Gemara says, there are asor chilukim. The Mishnah has the asor chilukim be mominus le Nefashis. The first chiluk is, how big a bezin do you need? And did imam is a bezin of 3 is enough? And did Nefashis you need a bezin of 23? But the other 9 chilukim between imamis and Nefashis are in the seder hadiyun, in the way you judge the case, not in the mispah hadayonim. And the Gemara says that even though we pask in Malkus is a machlokes hatanaim in the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, how big a bezin do you need? Do you need a Sanhedrin ketana of 23? Or we pask in no, we pask in all you need is a bezin of 3. So all you need is a bezin of 3 for Malkus, but the 9 other dinim that are different between Mamanus and the Fashas do apply to Malkus. Because of course it's an einish aguf, so we bend over backwards, we say, we bend over backwards to try to save the nidon, so we would require halonas adin. The Gemara says by sharaniskal, this is din the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Sharaniskal, you need a bezin of 23. Kemisa abanam kach misa shor, but that's all. You only need 23. The other 9 differences between man and fasha do not apply to sharaniskal because the din of the hitzilu eda doesn't apply to sharaniskal. Only applies to human beings. So Malkus and Sharan Niskal are in a certain sense opposites from each other. Malkus, you don't need 23, but you need all the other 9 chilukim. And Sharan Niskal, you only need 23. That's the only difference. And the other 9 dinim do not apply. Okay. Everyone should have a good Shabbos and an easy tonus.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbos. Thank you. All the best. Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I forgot to ask how to spell New Jersey.
You forgot to what?
Ask how to spell New Jersey.
New Jersey. You write Bimedinas, New Jersey. You write the name of the city.
Yeah.
Whatever. We usually spell New Jersey, Bimedinas, Nun Vav Aleph, and Jersey is Dalet Zion Vav Yud Resh. Zion Yud, is that correct? Dalet Zion Shin. Dalet Zion Shin. Aleph. Maybe 1 minute. Yeah. Dalet Zion Shin. Vav Yud. Resh Zion Yud.
Vav Yud. I'm sorry. Vav Yud done.
Resh Zion Yud. Jersey. That's the best under the circle.
New is Nun Vav Aleph.
Yep.
That's and then the, also, the name Tzipora, should it be written Chaser, like in the Tanakh?
Good question. I don't know. You got to look in Ebenezer and Seamus Gittin. You're getting married, but all the spelling of the names, and Seamus Gittin. So you look there, the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan tell you how you spell.
Okay. Okay, so I'll look in the Aruch HaShulchan. And then...
It's approximately Simen Kuf Chav Dalet. A long section about they have Sheamus Anoshim and then they have Sheamus Noshim. Maybe ladies first, maybe they put the women's names first, but whatever, they're next to each other. So look in the Sheamus.
Okay. And then can I ask a completely separate shayla? If someone has a, they make computer programs with all the Sfarim on it now.
Yes.
So somebody bought it, but their version stopped working. Can they use another version if someone gives them like a copy? Like their thing isn't working.
Means faulty.
Would that be Xela? What?
You mean he paid money and they gave him a faulty copy?
It worked, but then it stopped working. It broke after some time.
And are they obligated to fix it? Are they obligated to exchange it?
I'm not sure.
Guaranteed, if they're obligated, then he can make a copy from someone else. If it's because of use and they're not guaranteed, it's not guaranteed, and then probably not allowed to. Probably has a warranty, no?
I'm sorry, you cut out.
Probably has a warranty.
Yeah, so if, okay. So if there's a warranty and they have a chayus, then you could just do it yourself?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
You too. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, could I just ask something completely unrelated?
Sure.
Okay, if Rabbi is Moiser and Evet Ivri to a Shifcha Kananis, are there the dinim of Nida still applicable?
Yeah, sure. Shifcha Kananis is mitzvah. Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Thank you. Good Shabbos.
You too. Good Shabbos. Okay.
Shabbos, thank you.